Blog Talk Radio.
God bless you, everyone. This is Minister Jay Miller. We back live on the air. This is tonight.
From the day I was born,
everyone. This is Minister Jay Miller, the host of Dirty Church Radio. I'm so glad that everyone who chose to call in and show us support on this show. It's always a pleasure. It's always a blessing when you tune in. And without y'all, the show would be nothing. You know what I'm saying? And I'm just so thankful to have the opportunity to have a platform where God's creation from all different walks of life can come together and talk about issues. Talk about things that some people may, you know, shy away from, or talk about some things that may expose some things. I think it's great. We all want to learn more. I believe we all have a purpose in this life, and I believe we have to search certain things in this life to get a better understanding of who we are, learn what our identity is, and learn who we are in God, and whether you believe in God or not. Whenever I speak on the show as the host, me personally, not to offend anyone, I don't offend anyone, but me personally, I always represent my King, my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's who I represent. But I'm not so close-minded that I can't hear what someone else has to say. I'm open-minded, and that's what this show is about, Dirty Church Radio. It's always about just sharing and trying to gain more information and learning our fellow man. We all go through different things in life. We all were brought up in different households. We all come from different places. And I believe this is a great platform for us to get a better understanding, of some things. And I believe it'll be a true blessing. So tonight, listen, call in tonight on the show at 773-897-6319. Again, 773-897-6319. Listen, we want to hear from you tonight on the show. If you've been listening to this show and you never called in on the show, let this be your first night that you call in. I believe it'll be a blessing. Tonight, our topic that we're talking about is called Self the Great Dictator. Self the Great Dictator. Before we even get into that, I just want to acknowledge the people that I see that have called in. We have our brother Sword on the line tonight.
God bless you,
brother. What's going on, bro? And I see there's two other callers on the line, too. I don't know who these callers are, but hello, callers.
Hello.
How are you doing?
Great.
Hello. What's your name?
My name is Beth.
Beth?
My name is Linda.
Linda, where y'all calling from?
Chicago.
Chicago.
Chicago. How y'all hear about Dirty Church Radio?
I listen to it on Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, so this is not your first time. You done listen. You be listening to the show sometime.
Yes,
but it's my first time.
It's your first time? Oh, listen, we appreciate y'all taking the time out of y'all life and tuning into Dirty Church Radio. We really appreciate it. I think it's Beth. If Beth is the one that's been listening to Dirty Church Radio.
No, Linda.
Linda? Well, Linda, tell what you think about the show since you've been listening.
I like it. You know, you have a lot of conversations that gives you something to think about.
Okay. Yeah, that's great. That's great. That's great. Well, tonight, I guess we're going to have a conversation and let us do a little bit more thinking. I'm looking for some other people to call in onto the show tonight because one thing about Dirty Church Radio, we like to hear from all the different minds that God has created. And we know we all don't think the same. You know, like I was just saying before, if y'all was listening, that we all weren't raised the same. We come from different places, different upbringings. And that causes us to think differently on a lot of issues from your experiences. So that's what this show is about. For a person to be able to call in who may have been holding stuff in for decades and years and not be able to express what they've really been thinking or what they've been really feeling and without being judged or criticized or stepped on and kicked on, to be able to just say how you feel. Because only the individual can express their life and what they're going through and how they see it. And that's what we look here on Dirty Church Radio. We accept it all, regardless of the issue or the topic. It's all welcome. And I just want to thank you ladies for calling in tonight and being on the line with us tonight. I just want to thank you, for real. And I just ask one thing, that whenever you can, just spread the word about Dirty Church Radio so we can just get some more people on this line. It's been growing, and I think it's been doing a real great thing in this life that we live in.
I'm sorry, I didn't get your name.
My name is Minister J. Miller.
Minister J. Miller, yeah. Linda's my sister, and she was the one that told me about it.
Oh, mm-hmm. Listen, I thank Linda for spreading that word, for real. We appreciate it.
We're going to continue to spread it. We're going to continue to put the word out.
Oh, we thank you so much. Thank you so much tonight. Well, tonight, I just want to go to this thing right here. Just give me one second here so I can pull this thing up right here and just give y'all a little thing of how the show, you know, actually came about. Well, tonight's topic.
Love Hope Radio.
Tonight's topic is tonight's topic is self, the great dictator. Mm-hmm. And how we're going to talk about how one's individual self, are you in control or is the flesh part of you, your mind, is it doing things deeply within yourself that you truly don't want to do and you feel as though like you can't help it? Are you being controlled by self? Is your self-will more stronger than God's will in your life? Do you choose choices outside of God? And whether you believe in God or not, when I do a show, I always bring God into the mix of things because I truly believe in God. And but tonight we want to talk about whether you're connected to something that has you locked into dictatorship. We're going to talk about how do we tell the difference between leadership and dictatorship. If you're in a church or you're in some type of organization where there's a leader, how to be able to tell the difference between a leader and someone who is being a dictator. And I believe I was talking to a few people and they were saying, you know, that's a big problem that they experience in their life is trying to figure out the difference. Because a lot of times a person that's in authority, if they're a dictator, they'll use what you believe in against you to get their agenda across. So we want to talk about a leader who may use God as the excuse to get what he wants out of you. And it might not be God telling him to do those things, but he uses your faith in God to use it against you to get his agenda. And there's so many, we're not just going to talk about, you know, actually a church or a preacher or a pastor who may be a leadership or a dictator, but we wouldn't just talk about the whole feeling of dictatorship, whether you're the dictator or you're connected to something that your life is being controlled by and you have no power over it, like you gave up all your power and this thing is controlling you. Are y'all with me so far?
Yes.
Okay. Brother Sword, since you're on the line tonight, I want to hear your take on about self and about dictatorship.
Well, it's a deep topic. Self, you know, a lot of times we do things, and when you add God to the equation, we say we're doing God's will when actually we're doing what we want to do. Because when God allows us to go through something and it brings us some type of suffering and pain, we want to do what we want to do to feel good and come up out of it when actually we need to just endure and go through. So the will of God may be for us to go through and endure. Just like Jesus said, not my will, but thy will be done. You know, so, I mean, we talking about he was about to go through the suffering of not only being separated from his father because of death and God is life, but because he was about to take on the sins of the world and God hates sin. And so he was about to go through some type of great suffering, not just the physical agony, but just the thought of being with the Father for eternity past. And now about to be separated because he was about to become the sin of the world, and he knew he was about to face that. And he said, if it be thy will, let this cup pass away. You know, that I'm about to be separated from you because I'm about to become something that's filthy. And but he said, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. You know, and some of us, we choose not to suffer and endure no matter what the trial is, no matter what the test is, no matter what the storm is, and we tend to rely upon what we know to do to feel good when we're not feeling so good. And we choose to do something, actually, that's us being dictating to ourselves or self-dictating. You know, not like you said, not choosing a leader and saying that the leader is dictating, because a dictator will have you to follow their command and look at them instead of looking at the Creator, like they standing in the stead of God. And we know God would not give his glory to no other. And sometimes even us as Christians or believers in God, we say that we done, not my will, but God's will, you know, and we take that back. And once we go through some type of suffering, we tend to go back to our thought pattern on how we've been brought up and trained to handle our emotions, and when we're not feeling good, we just slam doors and say later for it and walk away or try to find some type of way to feel good, whatever it is, you know, and we tend to do our self-will. And, of course, some of us fear doing something that will cause us more misery and pain, but yet we still do what we want to do instead of enduring and going through the trial and going through the trial with you know, patience. Patience is being able to suffer without complaining. You know, I heard one of the brothers mention that too, and it's so true. Patience is being able to suffer without complaining. So self-dictatorship, if you're going to be successful, I mean, some people have a problem. Some people, you know, and the problem is we become too self-obsessed. We obsess with ourselves. Whatever we want to do, we do it. If we don't like it, we walk away. If we want to stay, we stay. But, you know, if we look back at over our track record, I can speak for myself, I've messed up plenty of times. So I need to stop relying on myself, and I need to get honest with you and whoever else that I trust to be able to communicate with, that I'm one standing in the need of some help. And I'm willing to not so much execute my will, but say, you know, hey, listen, bro, I need some help. You know, I trust in God, but God shows up a lot of times in another brother or another sister.
I just want to say something right there, too. And that's where I believe a big problem happens at, is when you said you're in a place where you might need help. Now, see, a person who is like a snake or a vulture waiting to catch someone that is vulnerable, and they'll use the position that you're in, you being vulnerable or in a place of need or help, and they'll come to you in a certain way, but eventually their goal is to actually gain complete control over you, because they'll rely on you, and not on like that, you'll feel obligated to them in a sense because they helped you.
Okay, yeah, that's why it's very, very, very vital that you know who your inner circle are or who it is that you're trusting in. You can't trust in somebody who's not trustworthy. Jesus said, the one that's great among you is the one that serves you. I mean, you know, and we all talk about being a leader, but here Jesus said the great one is the one who is not leading, but the one who's willing to do the service, serving. You know, if you need help, I'm here for you. You know, so it has to be somebody who understands the word empathy. You know, empathy is not sympathy. Empathy is putting yourself in somebody else's shoes. If you suffering, man, and you crying and you going through, I should be have enough empathy to hear you out, and not only hear you out, but put myself in your shoes so I don't hurt you and mistreat you or even mock you and laugh at you and say, oh, well, that's you, not me. No, you need to be around people who can feel your pain and not point the finger or try to manipulate you or use you and throw it back in your face. You know, so you got to be wise. You got to be wise because, first of all, you know, if you look at your track record, you blew it plenty of times. I blew it plenty of times. So I'm open today. I'm open to be able to listen to somebody else's point of view. You know, and so being open, you can get wisdom and you can get some help. You know, so
I just want to let everyone know our brother DA is on the line, the other host of the show right now. What's going on, DA?
What's good? What's good, brothers? How's everybody doing?
Good, man. Good, man.
Hey,
what's good? What's good, man? How are you, Swart?
I'm all right. Got the Adam's Advocate on.
We have two ladies from Chicago on the line, man. One name is Beth, and the other one name is Linda. And they listen to the church radio. Well, Linda listens, and she told her sister about the show, so they called in tonight to listen. Maybe they'll have something to say tonight if they want. They have the opportunity to do that. But just to ask you a question, since we're on the show, with the topic dealing with Self, the Great Dictator, let me hear D.A.'s, what does D.A. get from that topic when he hears that? Just the topic alone. What angle do you come from when you hear that?
Well, usually when I think of the word dictator, it means someone who actually governs another person based on their ideas. And the person who they are governing or ruling necessarily or basically doesn't have a say-so in the matter. When someone is dictating a situation, it's, for the most part, their way. And if you go against what they actually, what their rules are or what they are dictating to you, a lot of times it can lead to severe punishment. So that's what I consider or look at when I hear the word dictator.
Okay. Well, give me a few scenarios of a dictator in this time, because you know the word goes back in time, dealing with dictator or tyrant, which means two different things, kind of in a way.
Mm-hmm.
When you look back in time, how it all, you know, transpired and came about. Like when it first started out, it didn't really start out as something bad. So the deeds of it wasn't. But now you're a dictator, you hear the results of what they're dictating, the abuse. You hear the things, the killings. You got some dictators in some countries right now who, you know, they commit mass genocides and kill off, you know what I mean, a whole lots and lots of people, like Hitler. I mean, all different ones. There's so many dictators. It's a big list. We might get into that list. But more so tonight, I don't want to actually talk to about the actual giants of men who are considered dictators in the world. I want to talk about the things that you're connected to in your life right now that may be in some type of dictatorship but not even realize it because you have become immune to it, or being able to tell the difference between leadership and dictatorship. When leadership can use your faith as a tool to make it not feel like dictatorship. Do you understand what I'm saying, D.A., when I say that?
Yeah, uh-huh. People do it all the time. Husbands do it to wives. Wives do it to husbands. Parents do it to children. Employers do it to employees. I mean, it can be anywhere where somebody is abusing their authority. And when no one else is correct except you are. I mean, except you. You are the only person. I'm sorry, go ahead.
And it's a very thin line between leadership and dictatorship.
Mm-hmm. Well, explain. Give us an example, if you can.
Well, as he just said, you know, parents can dictate over children. You know, it's a very thin line of when you are in a position of authority. And a person can start out with the best intention and subtly go into a position that would be a dictatorship. So, you know, you constantly have to evaluate yourself and your motives when you are in leadership over others.
And, you know, so can
that's,
be.
That's true.
Power.
Also, I would.
Power that's being felt from leadership. Maybe where the problem starts beginning is when the leader gets a lot of applause, and it and the power that he has builds up within himself, and he starts thinking of himself. Do you think that's dictatorship? Once, you know, he really starts reading his own headlines, and it starts to feed his ego to a point where it becomes all about him, and everything now is, it becomes selfish. So it's about him being pleased, his agenda, and no one else matters unless you're working towards what his agenda is.
Brother D.A., I agree with you because I feel like it's a part of manipulation. Even when you get, like you said, you get into relationships, it's like on your job. You know, like if you hanging with some friends and when people can't be allowed to be independent, you know, just like everybody has to go to a certain place with this person, there's always someone who feels like that they're supposed to dictate just what you're supposed to be or what, where you're supposed to go.
Yeah, I was just
well,
about
I think
to say
it
that.
Comes
that
from manipulation and a person's, too, how you said, how they feel about themselves. If your self-esteem is not at a certain level, people would take advantage of, like you say, your vulnerability.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's true.
Makes a lot of sense.
We have our brother Senefa on the phone, too, right now. He just called in. What's going on, bro?
Hey, what's happening, brother? How are you? What's up, D.A.? Where you been, man?
I've been here, man. Everything's good. How are you, Senefa?
I'm doing great, man. It's the best day of my life. Hold on, I got to take this call, but go ahead. Finish talking. I'm listening.
Okay, all right. Go ahead. Go ahead, D.A.
Now, what I was saying before, I mean, the young lady made perfect sense. You know, there's a lot of situations in people's lives where they know somebody or know someone that actually takes a position to the point where their position allows them to hold some type of seniority over you. It makes them feel as though they're better than you. So if someone feels as though they're better than you in some kind of way because either they make more money than you do, their status of living is higher than yours, they may look better than you do, they may feel as though they are closer to their God more than you are, and having that mentality of having that type of advantage over someone else can easily turn into a dictatorship.
Mm. Okay. Yeah. I can actually see that. Well, let me ask you. You mentioned about parents with a child. D.A., can you give me an example of with a child and a parent where it's starting out as leadership and turning into a dictatorship?
Yes. My mom, I love the lady because I believe she's very, very wise, especially the older she gets, the more she understands things. When I was younger and when I used to ask to do things, my mom always used to say no. And I used to be like, well, certain times I can get away with asking why. But most of the time I couldn't get away with asking why. But when I did ask why, she said, because I said so.
Mm-hmm.
As I got older and I asked my mother, Ma, why didn't you just give me an answer? And she said, because a lot of times I just didn't want you to do it. You didn't necessarily need an answer for something. If I didn't want you to do it, I didn't want you to do it. Even though her intentions may have been very, you know, leading toward the right direction. A lot of times parents don't necessarily think. They just react. I'm a parent, so I definitely can understand how parents just react and they don't think. And a lot of times my mom says, that was the worst thing I could have said to you because, and not giving you an answer. It one of the most important things that a kid can ask is why. But a lot of parents don't see that as being a good thing. And the reason why they don't see that as being a good thing, because a lot of parents see that as being disrespectful. But it's just like she said, it's a very thin line between that, between leading a child right and then dictating your child. Because if you don't have answers for things and you just say, just because I say so, just because you want to be right, I think that thin line is crossed just a tad bit. So that's one of the situations that I think a lot of parents could relate to.
And you know what? That's something that I believe even us as parents have to take into consideration. An answer that really truly, a question that truly deserves an answer, there are certain things that shouldn't be just left unanswered. You know what I'm saying? Because they'll get some answers somewhere else.
Exactly. So true. And usually the places that we get answers from are our best friends that don't know more than we do, and usually we end up in a very, very negative situation or a bad situation or getting in trouble by our parents because we're asking our teenage friends who don't have as much experience as we do, but we should be asking someone who's older, someone who's actually been through that. And, we do deserve answers. Because
I just seen that because an unanswered question in your child's life, right, can result in a bad habit in their life when given the wrong answer by someone outside of your parenting.
True, indeed. I'm with that.
And I believe right now, even in our in this world today, there are so many that happens a lot of times because I even find myself as a parent, like now. When I wanted to be quiet, listen, I wanted to be quiet. But sometimes they might ask something, and if I don't want to deal with it, I'll be on it because I'm the parent, I'm the head. I ain't dealing with it right now. You know what I'm saying? Like, I ain't trying to hear that. But that could have been a very important time where I should have answered something or ought. You know what I'm saying? And I believe that's why I named this show Self the Great Dictator, because when it falls on the person, it boils down to a lot of times the selfishness in the individual.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Go ahead.
I think the only time it's very, very tricky when you become selfish. A lot of times, when you are dealing with belief and religion and how you have pastors and priests, priests for example, let's say for instance, a priest or a bishop or a cardinal, their title gives them a very, very high position in the church, meaning that a lot of times the higher your position is, people are led to believe or the assumption comes that you're closer to God. If you were just someone who just goes to church, a part of the congregation, compared to a leader of the church, a pastor, a bishop, a priest, a cardinal, all of those, it seems like they are closer to God than you are. A lot of times, those people that hold those type of positions, I'm not saying all the time, but a lot of times they don't necessarily mean to be selfish, but because they believe that their position gives them access to God more than yours, they feel as though that they are right no matter what you say. They are right. And it's not about them being selfish because they believe that because God is speaking to them, that they know what's best for you. So that's kind of tricky in a lot of ways. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Question.
Mm-hmm.
Is God a dictator? The God as you know him, is God a dictator?
From the Bible's perspective, from a Christian's perspective, I won't answer that quickly. I'll have to think about that for a second.
What about you, Jermaine?
I would answer that question in a sense. You know what?
I thought about it. Yes, God is a dictator.
I will say yes. I will say yes when it comes to God or the Bible. It's like, you know, God Almighty, you know, that the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the end, the first, the last, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. So, you know what I mean? But I don't think it's the dictator or I don't think it's the dictator to the point where it's you know what? Definitely, I gotta think on that one right there for a second.
I said the same thing, but yes, I thought about it for a little while, and yes, I would agree.
But I'll give them a few examples because I don't believe when man does it. I don't know. I got to think about that. That's a good question.
Because you know, if you look at the definition of dictator, the dictator is a person or entity that exercises absolute power, the absolute control. They are the ruler. They set the government. They set the laws. Anything that steps outside of those laws, rules, and government, there's a consequence.
Mm-hmm.
And so free and people, the argument people will make is that, well, man has free will. Well, you can have free will under dictatorship. You just pay the consequence when you're busted, right?
Well, that's not necessarily free will, but okay.
Right, but I'm just saying, so let's see. If God says I have, the Bible says I have free will. God made us with free will. Isn't that what it says?
It does.
But if I,
Yes, it does. You're right.
Right, so if I want to fornicate, is there a consequence?
Yes, it is.
Right, so if I want to eat shrimp, is there a consequence?
Yes, it is.
Okay, so, I mean, you really don't have free will. There are laws that govern who you are. So what is it that makes the parent any different? So when we look at raising a child, there are laws that are set up until the age that you're 18 that the parent sets. You're a dictator up until the age that you're 18. But when you're a kid in the rearing age, there are rules things that you can't allow your child to do because they don't think for themselves. They just do stuff. Kids don't know what they're doing. That's the free spirit. They just do, you know. And there's, like you said, there shouldn't be a consequence for a kid who goes and get books off the bookshelf and don't read them. They just pull all the books down because they don't know what to do with the books, right?
Mm-hmm.
But after you teach them what the books are for and they understand and then they go get crayons and write in a book and tear pages out, there's a consequence because I told you that don't do that. So when we talk about the word dictatorship, we have to look at the root of it and the core, where it comes from. So if any man follows any set of rules, matter of fact, there is a video on my page. You guys got to go watch this video.
About the cheetah and the monkey.
Yes. And
yeah,
so
really,
when we look, did you, huh?
Yeah, that was really good. I watched that. That was good.
Right. And so when we look at, if you see that video and you see that this animal acted out of instinct, that was instinct. There was no rules involved until the kill was over and he realized that it was a baby there. Then it kicked in. That's the spirit of life that we miss, that we don't value, that we don't see. We never put our differences down because of the set of rules or dictatorship that we live under. It's when we put those sets of rules down, do we see life for really what it is. I can deal with the Catholic man. I can deal with the white man once he puts his rules down. I can deal with the Muslim once he puts his rules down. I can, because I don't have a set of rules, or I'm not governed by any law of nature or any law of man that says that I do. I see everything as it is, you know. And sometimes in our history, when we get when we study our history and what we've been through, it creates an internal set of rules that become dictator. They dictate. That's where the word dictate comes from. You know, it dictates how we behave. You follow what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
When we look at our history and we see that so many bad things have happened to us, it dictates how we relate to the people who did us wrong.
Well,
so
I have a question for you.
Yeah.
I have a question for you, Snapper.
Mm-hmm.
Do you believe that all who dictate, is it always condescending and negative? Like, does the definition of or to be a dictator or to dictate, does it always tie in with something being negative?
The only time it ties into something being negative is when it's external, when the thing that you're trying to dictate is external. The only thing that we should be dictator over is ourselves.
Okay.
So when I look at you, when I start to set a set of rules that govern you, then I become a dictator, and it's dangerous because I should not govern you. I should be either teaching you, advising you, or showing you.
Okay, and can I interject here? I pulled up the definition, and one of the definition of dictator is a person granted absolute emergency power. Granted, I think, is a key word there.
Yeah, because it says the word originated in Roman times or something, when the Senate would appoint a magistrate to rule in times of emergency.
Right.
So it would be an emergency or some type of catastrophe or something like that, where it would be a need for a dictator to have rule.
Which is the part that I talked about, which is government. You follow what I'm saying? I said that there is either laws or government that when you step outside of it, but when we go all the way back, let's go all the way back. Let's go back as far as we can. Let's go back before the Bible was written, before anything was ever in existence, as far as we know it. When we go back to the animistic stage of man's walking the earth, and when he was connecting with the animals, saying, hey, that thing has life in it, I respect it, in the trees, that he knew that it offered some life form to the earth. He didn't know it was oxygen, but he knew that it had, and then he realized that the people around him, they all knew, you know, they all realized that they had to eat from certain things, that they lived amongst each other, there was not killing, there was none of that, and there was no rule, there was no need to rule over anybody. It's when our needs and our wants get in the way where the rules come. Now, there are certain laws of nature that you just don't violate.
Mm-hmm.
Those are just laws of nature. There's not a matter, that's my man's wife. I don't violate that. He loves her. I'm not going to mess with that. These are regular, the only thing that we should dictate, and when you say an emergency to dictate, what would that be? The government uses that. It's an emergency right now. They're in Afghanistan bombing innocent people because they want the oil quickly.
Well, they said, back in the day, back in early times, they were saying that's how it actually started, how it originated, what it was used for. But now when you look at it, it says it's usually generally used to describe a leader who holds or abuses an extra amount of personal power.
Right. Well, you got to look at Rome.
The power to make laws without effective restraint by a legislative assembly.
We come from. Right. We come from Rome. That's what I mean. Our not us, but the structure of America.
Yes.
When was the last superpower on Earth? It was Rome.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They set the stage for this, all Rome. How do you think we got kicked out of Africa and the lands were conquered? It was Rome. It was Rome. It was the Greeks. Then it was the Romans. See, the Africans taught the Greeks, right? And the Greeks taught the Greeks fashioned their life. I mean, the Greeks fashioned their life after the Africans, and the Romans fashioned their lives after the Greeks. And America, that's why you see all of the Roman statues, the Roman Catholic. Who's the greatest? What's the greatest organization or the strongest organization on the planet? Roman Catholic Church. It's because they still have, and now when we talk about our laws that govern the United States, why do you think a Roman Catholic priest can molest a young boy and no, with no law of the state can touch him?
Well, see, that's why I asked the question. When it comes to religion and it comes to comes from leadership, from religion, that's why I say it's. And I'm kind of asking the question. Is it kind of sort of like, you know, a very, very, very close call? Because I'm not saying, like I said, I'm not saying all, but there are some leaders within the church that do believe that they are not dictating in selfish manner. They're more so dictating because they believe that God is telling them to do so.
Right. Well, and that's true, because let's look at the Bible in its entirety and where it came from. When we talk about the word dictator, it came from who? The Romans. The Bible was used at that time. It was the laws. It was the laws that people, they, listen, the let's look at what's called the Protestant Reformation. The Protestant Reformation, the Protestants were leaving from overseas, but that's how they got to America, because they said, we no longer want to be under the Roman Catholics because they're crazy. They cutting our hands off for stealing a slice of bread because we hungry. So we need to find our own land so that we can have our own church. And they came to America and set it up. You know, they came to America and set it up, and that's where America... That's why the Roman Catholics are where they are. I mean, that's why we follow what we follow. We got to know, figure out where the church actually comes from. Hold on 1 second.
Okay. What do you say about that, Jay?
I wanted to say, when they was reading something about saying where the person is granted the power, right? Like they're given the power. So my take on it, like, when you look at it personal, who are you giving power to be a dictator over you? Like, who are you granting that power? Who are you giving it to? And I'm not just talking about actual big person who's considered a dictator. I'm talking about, is it someone personal in your life that you granted that power? You know what I mean? It could be someone right now who I was telling when Brother Sword was on the phone, like, you've been in real help and in need, and a person, they helped you, but they had a motive to help you. And now you feel obligated because they helped you out of something that you felt as though you never was going to get out of, and you're so ever thankful, but now they use your appreciation against you, and they obligate you. And all of a sudden, you wind up inside of a dictatorship.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Well, that's, and again, you know, my thing is there, in that instance, there are conditions in being under dictatorship is, I'll put it this way, is best I can say, that's the choice of the person being ruled. You follow what I'm saying? You can't rule something that refuses to be ruled, that refuses to allow you. In other words, we give people power. You follow what I'm saying? Now, look at the most powerful part of dictatorship. Let's look at the positive part of dictatorship. The only dictator, what's the first definition of the word dictator? It says a person exercising absolute power, especially a ruler who has absolute unrestricted control in government without hereditary succession. That means that that person has absolute control over everything that goes on and does not have to ask anybody for any nothing, right?
They don't have no one to answer to.
That's right. Check this out. Imagine if you had taken that definition and internalized it to where the only thing or only person that you allowed to rule over you was God. That meant that no outside influence could influence you to do anything other than what your God says is appropriate for you. Here's where the mistake comes. The mistake comes when people think that the God that they serve is a collective God with 35 people or 1,000 people or 1,000,000 people. No, the Bible is a personal relationship. So if you have a personal relationship with a God, right, then he should be the only one to be able to influence you to do anything. Now, I'm not saying don't listen to your pastor. I'm just telling you like it is. If, in fact, your relationship was God, here's the part that I get. You ever hear people say, well, pastor said I can't do this. Well, pastor, I got to go to church because pastor praying for me and my family, or pastor's doing this for me and my family, right? You always hear that.
Uh-huh.
Now, when Jesus died on the cross, according to the scripture, let's go if you're a Christian. When Jesus died on the cross, they said that the veil was rent.
Mm-hmm.
That meant that it gave me direct access to God himself. I no longer had to have somebody go in the most. Huh?
You didn't need a priest to go in the holy place with a rope tied around no more.
Exactly. I didn't need that anymore. So I had access to go. And so the reason that people don't have access to go because they sewed the rent back together.
Mm-hmm.
They got a sewing machine and tied that bad boy back together again.
Wow.
I won't go in there.
They sewed it back together.
Yeah,
that's the first time I heard that one.
Yeah, don't preach that. Don't preach that. You get in trouble. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, but they sewed the bad boy back together like a pair of split pants.
Could it be we
and that was the reason that he left the Holy Spirit for us to be led by the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, which me personally is your conscience. It's
mm-hmm.
To me personally, that's your conscience.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's a voice of yourself that speaks in you as well. Now you can attribute it to wherever you want. I don't, you know, like I said, when I talk to Christians, Paul said to he says, I become all things to all people that I might win some. So if that's where, you know, God said, okay, I left you a Holy Spirit, then abide by that. Let that be the ruler, because chances are, if you listen to that internal voice, you ain't going to do some of the stuff you do anyway. And tell me something. You know what's really deep, and I talked about this once before. You know, when in Genesis 3, it says, I mean, in Genesis 1, it says, God separated the light from the darkness. The darkness he called day, and the light he called night, right? And he placed a firmament in between the two. Now, we already know that that wasn't sunlight, and that was good and evil, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so he placed space in between it. You know why? That's the allegorical meaning of that is when you want to do wrong, you have to literally do it. You got to force yourself to do it. Wrong just don't, you got to, because you think about it while you're doing it. You just reach a cutoff point where you just go, man, I'm doing it. You have to cross that firmament to get to the wrong that you're doing.
But see, on the contrary, some Christians believe, but some Christians believe the total opposite. Some Christians believe that it's easier for you to do wrong than it is to do right. Right is the thing that's hard to do, but wrong is the very simplest thing to do.
But no, this is what happens, though. If I smack you in your face, right?
I'm going to hit you back, Jerry.
No, but what I'm saying, if I smack you in your face, right, normally that's going to create negative thoughts in your mind. And the more you think on that, even if you think at all, the more you think on that side, most likely whatever side you're thinking on more is the side you're going to react from.
If you get smacked in the face, you should automatically, that should be reactionary. That shouldn't be,
There are some people that can take a smack more than me and you can. You know what I mean? There are some people that, you know, you really have to push them to actually go to different places. But there are some
people. And I would have to say I've been smacked by a female before, and I did not hit her. It took everything in me not to.
Well, I mean, female is something. I mean, when we look at the reality of being a man, you know, a busted eye, let's be for real. Let's man up and be for real, you know. That's a different scenario. We going off because the part about being a dictator in a situation, there's a dictator is something different than just circumstantial situations.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? A dictator are laws of either the universe that you allow to, and the reason I keep pointing to the internal and self dictator is because that's a good subject, Jermaine, if you keep it internal. It's only when you turn it external does it become negative. You know what I mean? Because, go ahead.
The question I want to ask you, right,
mm-hmm.
about can your emotions be your dictator?
It can dictate. There's a difference. Your emotions can. That's what I was saying before.
Yeah.
There are external things that can dictate how you respond. For example, for 10 years, Jermaine, I smoked crack and sniffed dope and robbed and hurt people in the city of Trent. That was my MO. I'm getting you. That's how I lived. I was that dude, right?
Uh-huh.
And I went in two rehabs and just couldn't get it together. And it wasn't until one day I realized that I was in control of what I put in my body. I realized that I couldn't get high off of it if I didn't pick it up. And so I became the dictator of what my body did. You follow what I'm saying? Now, here's what people do. They use the spirit or the devil as an excuse as to why they do what they do. Paul said it best. Paul said, look, the things that I should do, I don't do. And the things that I want to do, I just don't do those. He said, but then I realized that there's a spirit within me warring against my flesh. And he says, well, who shall deliver me from this body of death? And then he says, I thank God through Jesus Christ that, you know what I'm saying? So he goes, okay, I thank God through Jesus Christ because that's where I put my faith, that God can deliver me from this body of death. Here's where the problem come in for a lot of people who don't live right, who have not taken. And at that point in his life, he became the dictator of his life. He said, I'm only going to let God tell me what I can do. He placed his faith in something. A lot of people look externally to place faith in something, and internally is where the fight is. That's why people are praying in the city of Trenton right now for something to happen, and ain't nothing happening because they haven't become dictator of their own lives. We got to take charge of ourselves, man. We got to clean our own community. There ain't no superhero going to come into our lives and break and shatter things. Now, there is inspiration. That's why the Bible says that it was written under inspiration. Somebody was inspired to write it. Whether they stole the information, whether they borrowed the information, whatever they did, they were inspired to put this book together to do whatever it is that it was supposed to do. I today look at being a dictator, me, over control over my own thoughts and mind. Can't nobody come and make you smoke no dope, Jermaine?
That's right.
Can they? Can't nobody make you do that. Why? Because you have a set of rules. You're in absolute power. You're especially to rule over your household. You're restricted. Now, within the household, there may be some, you might be second in charge in a lot of areas.
Can someone make you...
I got a question.
Okay, go ahead.
George, my man.
I bet you, fella, how you make it out?
Man, I'm good, man. I was good to hear your voice, beloved.
Likewise, man. It's always good to hear your voice.
Yeah.
Like, talking about dictatorship, my question is, like, I understand how you're putting it in the category of, you know, taking control, but would it be wise to say that that's leadership under wise counsel instead of dictatorship? Like, I believe it was D.A. who brought some of the definition of dictator, who brings about punishment when they're not obeyed to some sort. And it's all about what they say. They are in control. But then I think it was one of the sisters who talked about the thin line between leadership and dictatorship. Like, instead of me dictating to my kids, I can lead my kids.
Right.
Instead of me dictating to myself, I can lead myself to make the right choices, which a lot of times I found myself making bad choices, so I choose to turn over my will to the will of God or something higher than me.
Right.
Or I choose the principles of something greater, which is God, you know, his principles and his standards. Even sometimes I even fall short, but I find a great strength towards sometimes I'm facing something difficult and I have to remember, look, you said it's not your will. You said that you turn your will over to the will of God. So then I have to humble myself and tell myself, okay, you can't go to the left now. And the left might not be all that bad, but it might not be all that good neither. But I need some help. So in the part of me needing some help is now the leadership of self is becoming selfless and saying it ain't about me right now. It's about something greater than me and me sitting down to that I don't do what I want to do. Normally, sometimes when we talk about, like you quoted Paul, Paul said, what I would do is the things that I don't want to do. So a lot of times I find myself doing some things that's not all that healthy or wise. So now I'm choosing, and being brought up, like you said, in Trenton, and being brought up in the world or in the ghetto, period, we have been taught to do some things that brought us self-destruction and not self-construction or building ourselves up, you know. But then again, turning out, like for some people on this line right now might believe it's okay to have a drink or it's okay to smoke a cigarette. But some of us might believe that that's self-destruction and I'm not going to do that because I can get cancer and I'm just not going to do it. But the flesh now, the flesh, that side of you that says, you know what, I feel like having one. And then that's where it goes to making a wise choice. Leadership.
I agree with you.
Oh, another thing I wanted to comment on, you mentioned about, you know, different things when Jay was talking about self-dictatorship, being controlled or under the power of self and or something else. What came to my mind when he brought this topic up was, you know, me too coming from addiction and overcoming that thing by a power greater than myself. We can become under the power and control or dictatorship. It could be sex. It could be money, a job.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whereas like you would lie and steal just to get a position up higher, or you would cheat on your wife, or vice versa, cheating on your husband. You know, and it don't matter because you underneath the control of something else. So we have to get that self-dictatorship out of the way and stop being selfish. It could be cigarettes. It could be alcohol. It could be like dope or coke, drugs. But we need to stop being self-willed and doing what we want to do, and we need to turn over, as I hear some of y'all, you know, sharing, to something greater. And I heard you say, you know, that intern, you got to keep an intern, and you need to look inside and get that power that's greater than you, even with our anger sometimes. We get underneath the controller, you get mad, you get angry, you bust a hole in the wall, or you start throwing stuff, and when you really think about it, it wasn't that what you're getting angry at was something that's real minor, under the control of a dictatorship of self.
You know something I want to say right there is, you ever hear this statement? I know you probably heard this a lot, where it says behavior tolerated is behavior taught.
Mm-hmm.
So when you keep tolerating things that are abusive to you, you keep tolerating things that are making your life self-destruct, what you're doing, you're constantly teaching that thing to keep doing it to you because you never stand up against it.
That's right.
So I believe sometimes, you know, like you said, you have to make a choice and you have to overthrow what has been dictating your life. It's almost like when you play chess, you got to overthrow that kingdom that's coming at you or that you've been controlling you. And it could be whatever. It could be so many things, drugs, you know what I mean? It could be a bitterness that you've been holding on to towards your mother and your father, I mean, in your family, something that happened years ago, and you haven't spoken to them in so many years, you know what I mean? And that thing, that situation now is so much to you, your perception of it is controlling you, and because you can't seem to get past it.
Yeah. You know, one of the things that I refer back to it sometimes. I remember watching Roots, and I can only take us back to a time as black people. I can only take us back to a time to show what true dictatorship is with us, because so often when we hear the word dictator, we look at Fidel Castro, Russia, and we look outside of this country where we have never really experienced it, but there were laws that were on books, and they the word racism exercised towards us was dictatorship, because it told us what we couldn't do. We did not the difference, and I use that because the dictators, there is no choices. You don't have multiple choice. Dictators can dictate everything that you wear. Everything. The army, the United States Army, is a dictator to its people that's in the army. You're going to get up at 4:30 in the morning. You're going to hit formation. Everybody's going to wear the same clothes. You're going to stand the same way. When you see this person coming, you're going to behave the same way. You make your beds the same way. You put your toothbrush in the drawer. I remember going in there at basic training, you have to roll your socks up. Everybody's underwear goes in the same place, in the same spot in their drawer. It's a spot for everything in your life. That's dictatorship. They call it training, but it's dictatorship. That's why. And so when I say that, the internal properties of being a dictator, we got to look at it, because we allow things inside us to dictate how we respond. Right? And it's only until we take full control over that to where we say, now, of course, like Sword said, you place your faith wherever you place your belief system and you put that over top of you, then it dictates how you deal with people. Example.
Your phone got like an echo or like a...
My phone? Yeah, I don't know why it did that. Perfect example.
I wanted to comment on you was mentioned about the dictatorship, and you know, and you said it so well about even in the army and different, you know, places where it looked like they leading, but it's really dictatorship. And sometimes it's what it's doing is it's creating some type of self-discipline within the human being. But then when we go back to our natural life and the way we've been brought up in the ghetto and in the streets, maybe some on this network probably haven't been brought up in the ghettos or whatever, but knowing within our own individual self, no matter what background we have, there is some sort of dictatorship that we partook of, and it only brought us, if you really look at it, it brought us some type of self-destruction. So looking at whether you go in the army or whether you get incarcerated, because some of those same things you just mentioned, they make you make your bed up when you're incarcerated. You got the GI on Saturday. You know, it's certain things, and you got to go to work and make a dollar something a day. If you, you know, sometimes $3 a day. If you don't go, then you catch a charge. It's a form of discipline. Or you might go in a hole, or whatever the case may be. Now we free. And if you want to go pick up a drink, you pick up a drink. If you want to smoke a cigarette, you smoke a cigarette. If you want to go sleep with this girl, you sleep with that girl. But it's you being under the dictatorship of yourself. Now, well, I guess the greater thing is when you look at yourself, yeah, you're doing what you want to do. But we have done self-destructive things so long that we need something greater. Whether it's, you know, for me, prison saved my life, man. You know, it changed me dramatically. When I was under the dictatorship, I'm going to say of self, but that thing had me so caught up, man, that, you know, I was messed up. But today, I have life. I'm alive. That's why I share and I share with your name that I've been brought back from the dead. And when you come back from the dead, I mean, the things that you thought was important is not that important no more. You know, so now being governed by a greater power, even though we can't see it, like you said, whichever belief system we choose, because if you go back on our track record as human beings, whether you're Chinese, white, black, a Muslim, whatever your faith is, you look at your human anatomy and your makeup, you made some decision that was real self-destructive and not all that constructive. And so we have to change from your lust for some type of sexual feeling or a drink and a drug for some type of mood-changing chemical that we put in our body. We need to get underneath a power greater than ourselves that will become
But which goes back to what I was saying before. That's the interpretation of someone who feels the need to have something rule them. You follow what I'm saying? In other words, here's what I'm saying, is that there's a place in every man's life that you... I've studied the book. I've read the book, and I've studied it. Jesus read the book, and he studied it. The reason he was able to not fall victim to temptations was because he took rulership over his life. He became the dictator instead of the dictatee. You follow what I'm saying?
What about when, you know, remember, this is not on no dispute, but just for train of thought. Remember when he was in the garden and he was saying, if it be thy will, let this cup pass away. Now, he was saying, I want this cup to pass away. And whatever we interpret that cup to be, some say death, some say separation from the Father. But whatever it is, he was under great pressure at that time, that the word says that he was sweating like drops of blood. And so him, now we're talking about the Savior of the world who questioned God, you know, but said to God, if it be thy will, let me not go through this. But yet, nevertheless, not my dictatorship, not my will, not what I want right now. Because
The truth is, he didn't want to die. Bottom line. I didn't want to die. And so no man has dictatorship over death. That's the only time. And I'm glad you brought that up, because that's the only time throughout his life that he ever said, hey, what's up with this? You know?
Yeah.
Because he took ownership over the tool. Guess what? We don't have to, here, man. A lot of the stuff that your kid comes to you about, a lot of the stuff that you've taught your child, and they come to you and say, Dad, can I turn on the stove? No, boy, you can't. What's wrong with you? And we go to God with stupid things like that, too. And we be waiting for an answer, like we really supposed to get an answer. With dumb stuff, because we have not taken ownership. Like, swore, guess what? You got that word in you, like, it's shut up in you. Guess what? You ain't got to go to God when you want to do something wrong. You already got it. You already know it. It ain't his responsibility to stop you from doing something wrong. It's your responsibility to say no. Cain had an opportunity to say no. I ain't killing my brother.
Right.
But he didn't take to. Right, because he didn't take rule over his life.
What?
Now,
us brothers, I know us brothers who got profound wisdom. You know, like you could take the mind, right? I'm just giving an example of the human mind, right? The human mind is so great. I think I said it before that we build skyscrapers. We built the pyramids. The mind has reached the moon, you know, and, you know, other planets. I mean, we've been there. I mean, we in the air with the airplanes.
Right.
Okay, that's the mind. Now, that same mind of the human anatomy is so powerful and so great to make all these accomplishments, yet we still have men putting a gun to their head and pulling the trigger. It's killing itself. And so, but it's the same great mind. It's the human mind that God put within man. So now that you know that you got this wisdom and you're faced with the challenge, like you said, I don't have to go to God and ask God, is this right to do or not right to do? I can do it. If I choose to do it, I know it's wrong. But
right.
Then, yes, knowing the power of the negative and the power of the world, or some people on a religious form would say the flesh, you know, the power of it, my safety net is brothers like yourself, brothers like Jay,
right.
And
right.
other brothers that I surround myself with that I can have some type of accountability to,
right.
That I know that I'm not so great, man, that I can't fall. Or
right.
I don't know so much that I can't make a mistake. I made
right.
the mistake in the midst of knowing what I know, that he put the word inside me. So now my network or my comfort is strong brothers and strong sisters with like mind that, you know, hey, listen, bruh, it's going to be all right no matter what it is. Trust
That's
me
right.
enough to talk to me about what it is that you're going through. And if I've been through it, I can give you some help. See, we,
That's
a lot
right.
of times we don't like
That's
to talk
important.
About. Yeah, we don't like to talk about our problems. But when you get around people,
because we become too big of dictators, right? We get along with dictatorship comes the big head. There's a
and
balance.
Yeah, yeah.
There's
and
a balance. That's right, and that's why it's important to keep people around you that love you enough to tell you when you out of pocket.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the only that's why I said when you become a dictator of self, there has to be some righteous. Listen, man, best way to put it, and I'm going to put it the best, a person who loves nature, right, will look at nature and they will not kill the tree, right? They ain't going to kill the tree. They ain't going to step on the plant. They going to leave the anthill alone.
Right.
How many,
let's,
you follow what I'm saying?
This, yeah.
Right. They going
to
let everybody, that's right. And so that person is less likely to pull a trigger and kill another man. Because there are some righteous a moral code that is engraved in this person, right? Then you have a person who lives by a set of spiritual principles, the Bible, the Quran, the 42 declarations of Ma'at, or whatever he lives by. He lives by those principles. Now, that person who honestly, authentically lives the walk and that he chooses to walk, guess what? He's going to be less likely to pull a trigger on somebody, right? Now, why? Because he's internalized those codes and moral values to the point to where he's only in control. He realizes, God, grant me the serenity to accept the things that I cannot change, the courage to change the things that I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. He understands that I can't change anything externally. The only thing that I can change is the thing that's in me, right? I can only change my response or how I see that thing. Now, what happens is when we start letting our that dictator of self out towards somebody else, that's when we need our boy. That's when we need a sister. That's usually when we get pulled, our coattail pulled. They pull our coattail and say,
somebody else.
That's right. Yo, B, what's the deal with you? Or even when we can't, even when we can't change ourselves, Brother Sword, because there's been times where I would hibernate, man. I would get quiet. And my wife, you know, because, let me see, December the 5th was my brother, it was his fourth year that he passed. Yeah. And it had me in a space. And I couldn't shake it, you know what I mean? And my wife saw me. She said, hey, baby, how you doing? I said, I'm all right. Because the dictator was weak. I couldn't dictate what I wanted to feel. I had to feel what I was feeling. And so then I needed her to comfort me. I needed her to say it's okay. I needed her in that sense. You know, and some people turn to God and they turn to an external. And I tried that. I tried that, and sometimes when we try speaking to things that we don't see, we can't see it. That's why those natural things are here for us. That's why these people are here for us. But that's a good topic, man, because the self-dictator could be a positive. Well, it is a positive, only when it's internalized. You know.
You want to know what? Now,
mm-hmm.
You said it could be positive. I'm about to make my confession, right? I have made some real dumb mistakes. So
is that me? Yeah, somebody ringing.
Hello?
Somebody's phone ringing. I don't know.
Is that my phone? No. That was interesting.
No, I think that was Swart.
Oh, Swart, you there?
No, his phone just dropped. That's what happened.
Oh. Yeah.
DA, you on the DA on the line still, right?
Yeah, I'm here.
DA, let me hear you not get off topic, but let me hear you actually turn corner and let's take the highway. Or let's go through the tunnel.
I don't know what you mean by that.
You like what's DA's perception? I mean, where's Diego with? Where's the old DA?
Well, first, I have a question. My question is, it's kind of rhetorical, but I mean, you know, I would like some answers. Why is it so easy for people to be governed by dictators?
I think people have something inside of them where some people want to be led somewhere, because I believe it's a lot of people in this life feel like they have no direction, and then again, if things fail, people want somebody to be able to point their finger to other than themselves. So
we've been created that way. That, you know, when you really, really think about it, and I don't mean any offense to anybody who, when I say this, but we were created to feel, to think that we need to believe, that we need to be led. Because the Moses, that whole Moses theory says we can't find our way.
I have a question. How come when you make a statement like that, it's awesome, but then when I make a statement like that, I'm really seen as a devil's advocate.
Because you are the devil's advocate.
No, but my point is, hey, maybe
Jay said, you are the devil's advocate.
but my reason for saying that can work both ways. Like, for example, we've been made to believe that, and I'm going to take it from a perspective of where we are today. We've been made to believe that our pastor holds the key to our spiritual success or our spiritual connection to God, right? Some people
right.
only connect when they go to church on Sunday. That's why they go there Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Sward said about a few shows back that people will, their house be falling apart, and they go to church, and they don't even stay home and take care of their business because they've been led to believe that the pastor or the church itself is the one that's responsible for their spiritual development. And if the church building fell down, boy, it'd be a lot of people in trouble. So people have been led to believe on that level. Then there's the part where people have been led to believe that they have to believe in something. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And the something that they have to believe in has to be in this book. It's got to be in this book. If it ain't in this book, you're going straight to hell. And that's...
I want to answer the question.
Go ahead.
Yeah. Why do people need dictatorship? Well, you got some people that's caught up underneath dictatorship by the manipulation of the dictator, and they thinking that they're getting some type of goodness when actually the whole object is to gain power and control over someone's life. So what it is they play on their mind and they keep the person so busy and occupied to where the person kind of fall off from mental control and they become underneath the spell of the dictator. That they look at the dictator like the dictator is God, like the dictator is the one who is running the show, and I have to obey the dictator. And most of the people that get caught underneath it is someone who's looking for a real great spiritual awakening or a spiritual high or trying to be so spiritual, and they fall underneath that spell. And sometimes it be depressed people who life has been brought them a lot of pain and misery, and they find some type of comfort of being around this manipulator, this slickster, because that's what dictators are. I mean, the leaders today are supposed to be honest, upright, moral standing, and they're supposed to point you to God, not to themselves. Dictators show their power. They show their authority and how they doing this. But a leader who's leading you, and if he believes in God and that God has sent them, he's going to point to God and say, you know, God has the final say-so over this, not me. A dictator will stand in authority as if my word is law. My word is God's word. What I say will stand, and if not, I'm going to bring some type of, you're going to suffer one way or another. And so the persons that's caught up underneath it, the ones that fall for it, they was manipulated by the mind, some is depressed, and they find some type of comfort around these people and trust these people to whereas they just lose their control. So whereas actually not take care of their husband or not take care of their wife or not take care of their kids, but they'll be right underneath their dictator.
Here's a spin on this. Okay, so when we look at dictator from the culture of America, right? When we look at it from the culture of America, it has a different meaning. Too often America says they're going to bomb, or we're going over there to, they went to Israel, they went to Libya, and they killed Gaddafi, Saddam. They killed them because they said they were dictators, right? Now, when we look at the Western, when we go all the way back into our history to look at what it was and who was in charge, we had kings in Africa, many different parts of Africa. There were kings who ruled the lands, and it was done through compassion. And the reason I say that the laws of the land were set up to where if they were to prosper everybody. You follow what I'm saying? the poverty back when we go back thousands of years was non-existent. A great king was characterized by the wealth of the people that lived in it. Now, when you look at the United States and dictatorship, who's the one that's saying we live under dictatorship? It's us. We still say that. We still say that, and we should look at it because this ain't designed for don't pay your child support for 4 months. Guess what they're going to do? They're going to take your passport. You can't travel. They'll suspend your license. They'll throw you in jail. Just like that. Boom, 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 boom. Now, that means you can't move around. You can't get a job. You're just a part of the situation. Now, the people who the laws were initially written for in this country, they don't feel like they're under dictatorship because they benefit them. They don't have to check the box to identify, oh, I'm black, before they see you. Before they look at your credentials, look at the box, oh, he's black, not him. You follow what I'm saying? So when we look at what dictatorship is, you got to really, really, it's a thin line. That's why I keep it internal. That's why I keep, because I am a dictator over myself. I tell myself, Ellis, you cannot do that. Because if you do it, here's the consequence. Because that's all dictators do. They tell you what to do, and if you can't do it, here's a consequence. But like Schwartz said, some of the stuff that they tell you is not necessarily good for you. It's good for them. But when you're a dictator over yourself, you know what's right. If you don't, you retard it. If you don't know right from wrong, you're retarded. By the time you're a grown man, something went wrong somewhere.
You don't want to say that.
Huh?
You don't want to start labeling people.
Hey, no.
Oh, Lou, I'm sorry. Luke.
And that's being dictator over self in the category where you're saying, would it be wise for me to say, because I'm against dictatorship for some reason, would it be wise for me to say, or put this question on the floor to challenge that for me to dictate over myself, what means that I would become a little self-obsessed because
I know
where
you're
going.
No. Let's go back. Let's biblically do it. Let me do it biblically so you understand what I'm saying. The Bible says that the man is, I think it's Romans 1 and 18. It says that the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all unrighteousness.
All ungodliness.
Ungodliness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, right?
Right, right.
Now, God gave you the truth. You have the truth. You've read your Bible. You've consumed the laws. They were to put there to govern your what? Your behavior, right?
Right.
You're responsible for them. You're the dictator over them. You tell them, you tell yourself what it is that you can and cannot do. It's not like
right.
you, because, and they,
if,
right.
Based,
huh?
based upon what was it, based upon what was internally created in me.
Exactly.
Like what you just quoted the scripture.
Right. So,
that
so
God
the,
put
the,
good in me.
Right. So you're in charge over that, those laws. In your body. And then the scripture even says, you know, so in order for me to be a dictator and fight off the enemy, I got to protect myself. So I got to arm myself, right, and put on whole armor. There's some things that you have to do. You follow what I'm
right.
saying? So it instructed you on how to stay dictator over your life. God doesn't want to rule your life, according to the Bible. He doesn't want to rule your life. He wants you to have rule over your life. God doesn't want to be you to be on a puppet string, man. You know, that's not what you were created for. The laws were put there because you kept picking up things you ain't a business picking up.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
You couldn't be dictator
said,
over your life. Right. You couldn't be dictator
over
your
own will.
That's
we
right.
You have our own will.
That's right. And you don't know what to do with your will. You start doing
right,
anything
that's what
you
I said,
want.
I kept messing up, man. I kept messing up.
That's
I
right.
Turn
so,
it over, man.
That's right. I'm glad of that, too. I'm glad you turned found something, man. You know what I mean? No, but. God, you know what I mean?
When pressure gets so great, well, you won't see Sword, boy. Sword being the wind. So God is holding me, man. He's holding me close to the altar, man.
Hey, man, you know, whatever keeps you, keeps you, man. Whatever keeps you, keeps you, man.
The horns of the altar, you know, the horns of the altar used to hold that sacrifice so that, whatever animal they was going to slay and give a sacrifice wouldn't get away. So they put the horns there to tie the animal to it. You know, it was a man, one of the priests, you know, King David was about to take his life, and he grabbed the horns of the altar. Don't take my life.
Right.
You know, David wanted that showbread. He went up in there. I need to eat, and my boys got to eat, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And but anyway, you know, the priest grabbed on to the horns of the altar. That's where I'm at, man. I'm holding on to God's dead hand, man, because, like, I'll mess up in a minute, bro, with all the wisdom I got. So now my safety net. It's knowing that about me, because my upbringing and my, you know, I've been taught the knowledge that you hear, but I also experience taught me a lot of negative, like you just mentioned about, you know, your past. My past has taught me a lot, and if I don't be careful, you won't hear from Sword. But
you know, one of the most powerful tools that ever taught me, man, in life was. Not having a safety net and realizing that if I let go of myself, if I did not care, let me tell you, man, had I not left Trenton, when I left Trenton, somebody or myself would be dead.
Right. Right.
I became the dictator to say, you got to get out of here.
Yeah.
I sat there and I told myself, I said, you got to get in, as much as I wanted to stay. I said, you got to get out of here. Now, some other people would say, well, you know, God told you to get moving. And I could take that, too. However I got out of there, I got out of there, you know. Now, but the truth is that we have control over our actions. And we got to stop making this a mystical process. Because it ain't mystical. Because guess what? When we do wrong things and break the law, they really bring us right back out of the spiritual realm, right to the courthouse, and then they show us how unspiritual we acted, you know? They're letting us know that we ain't that spiritual. They're letting us know real simply, man, by putting us away. And so we've got to come to a point to where it ain't that deep no more. You know, those young boys ain't saying, hey, you know, we can look at it and say, well, you know, this is evil, and they killing each other, and they doing this, but we're absent, too. We're absent, too. So we can't blame some things on the devil when we ain't coming out there. You know, we can't blame our actions. And so what we've done is we've allowed evil and good. There's always an evil and good. There's a yin and yang. There's there's light and dark. There's an opposite to everything, man. That's just the laws of the universe. And so if we don't present good, evil stays. It's like light, you know. Dark fills the room until you flick a light switch on. You know, the girl told me the other day she was tired of being the light. You know, I'm tired of being the light of everybody else. I said, well, then flick the switch off. Flick it off. Somebody
being
else can turn the switch on. Yeah.
And what about being the light to self?
Yeah, because if you was a light to self, you would have never made that statement.
You know. Like
because
you get tired when you try to do things, man, to be seen or trying to reach out. Like you said, you got to reach within, man. Just
that's
be
right.
You, do the right thing, and that's the light itself. Just
that's
you
right.
Doing right. Like the one said, we walk in the pistols. Let somebody read your book. Read
that's
your
right.
You know what I'm saying? So by how you
that's
live,
right.
How you treat other people, you know. So
that's right.
You know, we overwork ourselves when we trying to be seen and we trying to put energy into I gotta look good. I'm gonna be me. I'm good.
But what Jesus said? What
God
the scripture
made me
said?
Good.
The scripture said that you do those things so you can be seen of men. And
you
then right after
reward.
That, he said, "You have your reward." That's your,
you
reward.
Have your reward.
That's why. Yeah. That's why. Let me tell you something, man. This pastor that was on my page, we were having a conversation, and because he didn't agree with me, he kept telling me, "Bro, I'm gonna pray for you that God do this and that God do that." And I had to teach him. I said, "Well, you're the answer. Don't do that because you already got your reward." He's, well, what are you talking about? I said, if you pray, if you got to pray for somebody, if you feel the need to pray for somebody, they should know it. Because the scripture said you do what? You pray in secret so that God can reward you openly. He said, don't be like the heathen.
Yeah.
I don't need to know you praying for me, because what you're telling me when you say, bro, I'm going to pray for you, what you're telling me is that something wrong with me.
Yeah, and you're telling me to thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you,
know
you for praying for me.
You got our Pastor Boone on the line here, too. What's going on,
Pastor Boone?
God bless you, Pastor Boone.
I'm doing all right, man.
How you?
I'm doing all right,
good,
man.
Good.
So,
a lot of times, man, people, you know, we have to be careful about how, you know, we, our projection of what, who it is that we're trying to influence, you know. So the brother says, well, I'm going to pray for you, I'm going to pray for you. I said, well, that's all good. Thank you the first couple of times. And then after you keep saying that, you're telling me something wrong with me. Well, if you see something wrong with me and you believe you are anointed and powerful, then pray in secret. And let God reward you openly. And thank him.
Mm-hmm.
You know
mm-hmm.
what I'm saying? We get so sanctimonious to where people see something different. So that's there. That's, you know, when you're talking about being a dictator of self, man, you know, it's me. When I sit down, the only thing that I can control and protect is my what's inside of me. I can't control how you do things. It ain't my job to. That's why Paul said, I plant it.
Another word.
That's right.
The increase. Hey.
That's right. Because we try to do all of it. We try to plant it, water it, and make it grow.
And get an increase.
Yeah, that ain't my job, you know? That ain't my job. I can only take care of carry what I have.
Mm-hmm.
Pastor Boone, what you got something? You got something you want to say, bro?
Well, I was listening to the conversation. The conversation is talking about, if I'm not mistaken, the dictator of self. And the great dictator. I think a lot of times we have to understand is that we talk about dictator, we're talking about a sense of control. And you are controlled by something. Whether you're controlled by your impulses, whether you're controlled by, I heard somebody talk about your moral values, how you were conditioned to think, how you're raised to judge and make decisions. I mean, you're controlled by something. And one thing we got to understand is that when you talk about self, you're talking about a very dangerous thing at times. Because at the end of the day, especially in the natural sense, the first law of nature is self-preservation. So in this world that we live in, you'll make decisions more prone based upon how it benefits you before you make a decision based on how it benefits others. And I think you become very selfish. You can easily become very, very self-centered and very, very blinded by your own ambitions and blinded by your own desires. So you have to be very, very careful of that. And as a matter of fact, the first thing that Jesus says that any who desire to come after me must first deny himself and take up his cross. And follow me. So self-denial in Christendom is the first step to being a disciple. You're denying yourself and allowing the principles and the practices of Christ and of God to become the controlling factor in the way you think and the way you make your decisions. So in essence, like trying to kind of piggyback, and I don't want to get too much of going back and forth with my brother who just talked, but in a sense, God does want control over your life. He does want the chief influence over your life, where he influences your decisions and influences every move that you make, every decision that you make. And that's a level of control that when they come down to dictators that they, out in the natural realm, that they use. They start off by using a level of influence. Hitler took over Germany by being first, not being just coming in and being a tyrant, but he began to get into that role by his influence, by being such an inspirational leader, in a sense, that eventually that level of influence gave him a level of control over the people. And what we have to be understanding, even in when it comes down to maintaining some sense of self-control, we have to be careful of the level of influence that we allow to be in our lives by outside people. because when they become to influence you, they become to control you from a distance. And it's funny because, like, you ever meet somebody, like, they got to talk to the same person all the time before they make a major decision. All they got to talk to the same person. All they got to talk to, I got to call this person. I got to call that person. Because pretty much whatever that individual say, they go with. And you got to be careful that you have a lot of dictators in your life that's not necessarily on a pulpit, that's not necessarily in government. You got dictators in life that's in your home who are dictating to you what they want you to do. And it's always in their best interest. It's always in what best benefits them. So you got to be careful. Yeah. You got to be careful that you don't put self allow. You got to be really careful what you do with yourself, and who you allow yourself to be influenced by.
I would like to comment on that. Just like listening to Neff, listening to yourself, and then like you just said, you got to be careful. It's not just the pastor. It could be somebody in your own network or in your own circle that's playing the role of a dictator. But then that brings us back to what Neff is trying to say, that God put something within you that will direct you in the right way to go. I'm going to try to give an illustration of bringing the self into a community and then finding out in that community which one is the leader. Like for me, my whole self is the makeup. I got my senses, my seeing, my tasting. You know that's going to lead me, even though sometimes we do. Then I got my emotions, which is, I can't cause that to leave me because sometimes I might feel like this and I might feel like that, you know. And then I got my thoughts and my mind. But my will has to be the leader in the midst of my own self-community, which brings me back to what Neff is saying, that, and then God created us with our own free will. Like, you know, and then if you look, if you saved and you got the Spirit of God, you know what I mean? That spirit will lead and guide you into all truth. So inside of you and your will should be, well, it goes back to turning it over to the will of the Almighty. Same thing with the pastor saying. But,
yeah,
you know, that's where I'm at too, because honestly, I have to be honest in the midst of truth and conversation. You know, I have studied some things, but honestly, I, within my own self, it's like Paul, I have made shipwreck. I have done some things that I'm not proud of. And because of that, it has a domino effect and consequences on some people around me. Could be my kids, my family, my wife, my mom, anybody. But it affected others who had trust in me. But I fell. But at the same token, today, my safety net is that I'm trusting in the Almighty, and I'm constantly keeping myself in a position that I'm not so self-centered and so focused on myself because I got all the answers. I don't have all the answers. I am in need of guidance and help that I don't make the wrong step. And if it takes, you know, another brother that I don't even know, I'm going to listen to him. You know, so we have to get out of the self-obsession or the self-part. I understand what Neff is saying, that I'm making a choice right now on what I'm saying. It's my choice to choose to be open-minded and not so narrow-minded and closed.
You really hit the nail on the head when you said you made a decision. Most of us who found ourselves making decisions and made bad choices, we made it in light of self. We made it in light of what we wanted to do at that point in time to just either satisfy, pacify, express, or fulfill whatever selfish desire.
That not all the time.
Most of the time. Most of the time, and you're right, not all the time, but most of the time, our decisions were based off of that. Now, yeah, you have your several sense where, okay, you put yourself in a bad predicament in helping someone else, or you put yourself in a bad predicament because you're trying to defend someone else. But even at that, sometimes it came out of you doing not so much what was in the best interest. Now, even if you look at those situations, if you remember back to those situations, you don't do something. Maybe I could have handled it a different way. Maybe I could have handled it a better way. But you did what you felt was the best thing to do at that time because of what? Of yourself, of your own flesh. And in reality, that's what self really is. Self really is your flesh. It is okay.
I just gave an example. I'm going to say this last time. I gave an example of the self as being my senses, as part of myself, my emotions. Which one of these is going to lead me now? My emotions, my senses, my character, which deals with my ethics, my principles, and then we goes into, I guess I'm coming with Nefet, my will. And so now out of all four of them, which one is the most powerful one to give me the right guidance when it comes to self-dictatorship or self-preservation, which is the first law of life? I would say my choice is my will. My will will lead me. You know, and so I have to make sure that I'm making some positive choices and that I'm choosing some right things. Now, whatever influenced my will, so be it. But the one that's leading my whole self, and anybody for that matter, well, some people can be led by the emotions. If I feel a certain way, I'm going to do this. Or, you know, my hands. If it tastes good, my taste is my senses. If it tastes good, I'm gonna do it. But your will should be governing your whole self. And again, that goes back to, I guess, what the pastor is saying. And even with myself, I'm turning my will over to something greater, which always brings us back when we're talking about the human anatomy and our self. We can always go back to the Creator. Always go back to Him.
Well, you know,
not my will, but His will.
Right.
Be done.
Well, one of the things that I've always, and you know me, guys, I study the Quran, I study the Bible, I study the Hosea, I study several different holy books, and your influence, and what I found to be true is that every book produces the same, or should produce the same fruit. Every book should produce, every one of those books produces love, righteousness, compassion. That's what all of them preach, the same thing. Yet man chooses the difference and uses those religions associated with those books to divide. Right, and I say that because at some point, like the pastor said, you're influenced by something. Something influences you. Now, many of the books say if you strip away, or they never get any scripture, or they were in a place where they never got the Bibles, that's like, say, for China for the last, China just started getting the Bible within the last 25 years. And so since they've been without a Bible, did it make them evil? Did it make them cruel people? Did it make them Satan spawn? No, they actually are more united than America is without having the influence of a scripture. So they govern themselves. And so your influence is based on whatever it is that you choose. Now, on this side of life, I can't determine who's right. We don't have the ability to do that. We don't have to. So whatever the influence is, whatever it is, we become. And it is a thin line between want, greed, and self. There's those said seven deadly sins. It is a very thin line between what our want is determining whether or not we affect someone else's life negatively. So when I sit back and I say those things that I allow to influence me, I sat under the pastor for 20 years, and everything that he taught me well. I'm a loving person. I'm a caring person. I get up. I go to work every day. I contribute to the community. That's what those morals and values taught me. There are others who have the same set of moral and values. Then there's people who are lacking in some areas, man, which we all, you know. But I can't. Me personally, from where I come from, I understand that the Creator is bigger than them. He's bigger than anything that I could ever put my hands on, man. I see him in everything that I do, in every person that I, and I'm learning every day that, you know what, I'm really not, I don't have to associate that with a bad negative thing. Everything that people do is not negative. It's just negative to those who look at it, how they view them. You know, there are some people who like cigars or pipes, and they sit there and smoke pipes. And they'll enjoy the pipe, they'll eat it, and people in the church say, you know what, you need to put that cigarette down, you know, that's the temple of God, and, you know, you ain't supposed to eat that, I mean, smoke that, but then they'll go to Denny's and get a triple bacon double cheeseburger. You know? But I'm just saying, you know what I'm saying, and so it's
right,
by
right.
interpretation as to right. what a person's, what they're dictated by. Now, do I think that God is going to punish you for eating a bacon double cheeseburger? No. I think the bacon double cheeseburger will punish you more than God will. Do I think the cigar will punish you? No. I mean, God will punish you for that? No. I think we pay, like I said, there are laws that we have with it that govern the universe, that govern our bodies. There's laws that govern our body. We can't put fire to it or it burns the skin. That's a law. We can't put things in it that don't belong because the body reacts a certain way. That's a law. It was created that way. And so we can't do things in the natural to hurt our brother because that's a universal law. There are laws that we have to be dictator over. We're the, you know, our life, I heard the brother say the other day, he said that our bodies align. If you look at a leaf, right, if you look at a leaf and then you look at, the way that the veins in the leaf go, and then you look at a lake, and you look at how the lake veins, how it breaks off, the lake breaks off into canals, it looks like the leaf, right? And then you look at our bloodstream, they all are identical, they're connected, there are laws that connect us to nature. And so when I say that, you know, this is how we were created by laws that govern us, yeah. Whether you read, if like I said, if a person who has the ability to control himself, I know guys who would sit in class when they was passing the joint around, and I was fighting whether I wanted to get it when I was in junior high, and I grabbed the joint. There was a guy sitting next to me saying, "I don't want that. It stinks," and he never messed with it. And Kyle Ballard right now is a doctor, a lawyer somewhere out in Virginia, you know, because that's just some people have the ability to govern themselves. He ain't religious. I'm saying, what's the difference between him and me? I fought that for years. So I think that there is a place, you know, and I thank God for whatever people who, whatever they choose. If it's God that you place your faith in that keeps you righteous and keeps you before him, I'm all for it. If it's a pool ball that you said, man, I just hold on to this pool ball, man, I just, you know, then so be it, man. You know, I'm just not that legalistic today to where I allow influences from anywhere because, you know, I see things that ain't, that shouldn't be, that are really, that our people are really, really influenced by. You know, I see the operation of how the church should operate in our communities, and it doesn't. You know, because they're influenced by, not all of them, but I see how many of them are influenced by financial gain, and the only one that normally profits is you know who. So, but you know, that's what we deal with as far as dictatorship and what we allow to dictate to us. That's just my view.
Well, fellas, DA, man, take us out. We only got a minute left live on the show. Want DA to just close the rest of the show out for us, some last remarks on what was just said tonight. Thanks.
Thank everybody for calling in on the show. It was a great topic. Self, the dictator. very, very awesome discussions. If those who want to listen to this, they can actually go back to the on demand and go to the archives and listen to the show. We thank you all. For those who believe in Jesus Christ, keep believing. For those who believe in Buddha, keep believing. For those who believe in Allah, keep believing. And God bless everybody.
Outstanding.
Wow. Listen, fellas, everybody that called in tonight, man. And we get up with y'all on the next show, man.
Yeah, Pastor, you on there?
Yeah. I'm still on, hey, Doc.
Man, I appreciate you calling, man.
Man, yeah. All good, man.
Give, look, somebody, if y'all get, when y'all see Sword, give Sword a hug for me, man.
Yeah, man.
Love that brother up. Look,
it, brother.
That's my brother, man. Love that brother up for me, man.
Good, man. You know, I was like, you know, to my family, like, you know, I'm like, you know, listen, why I can't get no hug? You know what I mean?
Man, hug that brother up for
and
me.
And they didn't want to give me a hug then, you know? Like, I mean, not just no natural hug. I mean, come on and grab me. You know, hold me like
yeah.
you ain't going to let me go.
Hey,
like, you know,
hey,
like we going to
hey.
Be all right.
That's
yeah,
right. Hey,
yeah.
Pastor, you on there? Pastor, what's your name?
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Pastor Boone.
Pastor Boone, listen, man. I saw a video today. I got to share this with you. I put it on my Facebook page, right? And the video, it would floor you. You'd preach from this for about 4 months. It would change your life, man. It's a cheetah in the wild, right, that sees his natural enemy, the baboon. And he just goes at the baboon, and he kills the baboon, right? Now, you know, they drag their prey up into the tree. So he's doing his natural behavior. And he's dragging his baboon, big baboon, up into the tree. And when he gets it up in the tree, he turns around and looks. And guess what? It's a one-day-old baby baboon hanging on to its mother.
Wow.
The cheetah looks at the baboon, and he normally you would think he would just grab it and bite it. And he felt so guilty, man. The baby baboon fell off onto the ground. The cheetah jumped down and looked at it like, my God, what did I do? And guess what he did? He laid down with this baboon, this baby, and licked it and cuddled it and comforted it, right? And then the hyenas were coming, and he picked this baboon up, and he took it up into this tree away from the baboon, away from the hyenas, and went back to defend and to chase off the hyenas. Once he did that, it was daylight when this all took place. The next scene, it shows that he stayed with this baby, this cheetah stayed with this baby monkey, man, all night. It was pitch black. He curled up next to it. He licked it. And so my point is that when certain elements that govern people are removed, then you see the love of God, man. And that's the thing that we miss. We can't, we got to, you know, when Jesus, that's why he operated so effectively. That's why that Good Samaritan laid there naked. Hello?
Yes.
Yeah, that's why that Good Samaritan was there naked, because it was saying, hey, you don't need to know what this is. You don't need to know where they're from, and you don't need to know what they believe, and we can't put these barriers up, because right now is a really tough time, man. I stand next to you side by side and fight. People can't, they're still trying to figure out. They asked me the other day, what are you? What do you believe? Who are you? I said, man, I'm scared to say I'm associated with anything. I am terrified by the Creator because I understand that there are people that are not of the same fold, man. We got to walk according to righteousness and not legalistic values. But when you see, if you get a chance to watch that video, man, it's going to floor. It'll change your life, man. It's that kind of powerful.
Yeah. It's funny because nature has more of a sense of camaraderie than us civilized human beings.
Why can't we find that, man?
I think because, like I said, it goes back to self. Everybody's very self-centered. It's about me. It's about what I can get. It's about what I can. Even in church, it's so competitive. It's not even about fellowship. It's about can I get the next position? Can I get the pastor's attention? Can I be the next one to sing? You didn't say my name.
Right.
Because we are we're about self-glorification, and we're not really about helping and assisting and being servant. Jesus said it best, that whoever wants to be the leader among you must first be a servant to you all.
That's right.
If you, and that is the core point, and that's, like I said before, going back to denying myself. I'm tired.
Right.
I'm sleepy, but my
right.
child wants my attention. I would
right.
deny myself to give my child that attention.
Right.
And
mm-hmm.
that,
God bless you, brothers.
God bless you.
I'll be talking with y'all soon.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay,
God
sure.
bless.
You know what's deep is that about this, that video is also, when you look at it, there's so many lessons in it. You know, I spoke to a sister today, and she's been with me for a while as far as teaching. And when she talks to people, it's real harsh. I said, man, I said, watch the video. She watched it, and I said, man, I wonder if you could, if you had to kill a particular system or paradigm of thought within a person, could you care for its young? Because here's what we fail to do. I told her, I said, even in Christianity, when the Christian goes out to witness, their job is to destroy the works of Satan by winning the soul to Christ, right?
Right.
But because they can't win that soul immediately, the alternative is they turn them over to Satan. They send them straight to hell that quick. Now, here's the problem. When I watched that video, the Creator was showing me. He said, hey, man, you know, the work of Satan is in the person. You can't destroy what's in the person and the person too. You follow what I'm saying? The baby is the person. You know, there's the, and I tell people, every action, when I saw that video, man, every action that we do in life, there's a baby attached to it somewhere. Whether it's the person, and I don't mean a small child, it could be older than you. You know, a person who does crack, that's strung out on drugs, we want to get the drug and the demon out of them, and we destroy the person. That's a baby. The person is the baby.
Good thing. I just believe that if we took time to minister to the person, it will make killing that the thing that's attached to the person even easier.
So much easier. And that's right.
Because they feel that you're really there for them.
That's
you're
right.
You're concerned about them. You're not so much,
wow, man.
You're driven by your love for them and not so much your disdain for what they do.
That's right.
I think if we took more time examining self instead of glorifying self, we'll be more fair with other people.
That's right. We got it on rapid fire. We got hell on rapid fire.
Yeah, hell on rapid fire, but
hollow point hell bullets, and we shooting them down with.
Right.
but you're right.
You know,
man.
What, Brother Sinefa? Did you ever check out the thing I told you to check out on Netflix?
Which one? Oh, the movie. Tell it to me here. I'm writing it down.
Ants.
What is it again?
It's called
the ants. The fire ants. And I'm sitting here writing it down again, and it's right on my desk. Fire ants. I hadn't, because I've been trying to finish up this book. I got this deadline, but I'm gonna watch that.
When you watch that, I guarantee you, you write something on your post off of this one.
I'm getting ready to go do that.
I'm telling you, when you watch this tomorrow, I already know when you see this one right here. When you see this one, this is the one for you right here.
Yeah, I'm going to go check that out.
Yeah,
I'm going to definitely check that out. But look, man, I love you guys, man. Pastor Boone, when I come up that way, man, I'm going to stop by and see you, okay?
Come on out. Come up, man. Can't wait to see you, man.
Now I like chicken, collard greens, and macaroni.
And my wife
I like
the best
eat.
Of it all. I'm
yeah,
feeling
man.
That. I hear
so,
that.
And look, if it's kind of tight, we go to Golden Corral. That way we put them
that,
out
man.
Of business. You know what I mean?
Ain't wrong with that, man. I'll put it down.
Yeah, let's go put them out of business.
I'll
get
my
little
business.
Business Yeah. But look, man, I love y'all, man. I got to run.
God bless you, man. Fire ants.
I got you. Hey, where Apostle Young at, man?
I don't know, man. I started calling tonight live.
Tell Lou, you should next time put him on blast, man.
Yeah, man.
Tell Lou Sanefa said it.
Yeah. Matter of fact,
hey, man, I saw y'all was out there at Battle Monument. I appreciate that, man.
Yeah, man. Yeah, we prayed out there. It was just me and him that really, you know. The
scripture said, look, there's no restraint of God that he may save by many or by few.
That's right.
That's what the scripture said. So I'm out, man. But look, I love y'all. Tell Lou I said I'm going to holler at him, all right?
All right,
y'all
man.
Be good. Okay, bro.
That's
peace.
Right. All right, Pastor Boone.
All right, sir.
Who is it?
It's been a pleasure, man. It's been a pleasure. On a side note, I love you guys. I'll miss you on Sunday, Minister Miller.
All right.
Yeah.
Got it, man.
So I'll see y'all later, man. Love you guys.
All right, man. Peace, bro.